It's 2024. Happy New Year. I am fired up and excited to talk about how to achieve your goals. One of the biggest things and issues that I see, there's two core factors when it comes to goal setting that people don't pay attention to, and it's absolutely essential. And so we're going to get into those things. But the first thing that we really need to do is start with evaluation. And everyone kind of has different views on these different things of the categories that we want to cover. And I've added one particular one. The rest are pretty common, but the one that I've added is number 8 that I think is really important. And so in our evaluation, this is our check-in. We got to do a check-in before we do anything else, before we start writing down our goals and what we want to achieve. So by evaluating this, this is going to help us to shape where our goals go and really help us to create that path. And so number 1, physical health. Number 2, mental health. Number 3, relationships. Number 4, career and or business. Number 5, financial. 6, spirituality. 7, contribution. And my personal favorite, the one that I've added that I believe to be one of the most important things, and that is adventure. We all need adventure in our life. To me, I want to look back at my life and really think, I lived. And at the current state, if you look at 2023, like, did you live or were you just working? You know, one of the most common quotes you hear, right? Are you working to live or living to work? And so it's really important that we are focusing on really just work as a vehicle so that we can create amazing things in our life. And a lot of that comes down to our goals and really strategizing and creating these activities that are going to help us to pursue and thrive in this new year as we're setting up our new goals. Now, if you haven't done goals in a while, I find it to be really, really powerful to actually start at a grander vision and really thinking about it from a 10-year period of just all of these things that you'd love to achieve in your life. And then you can narrow it down into 2024 goals. Bill Gates says most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10. Dream big, think big. Don't worry about thinking about if it's possible or not. If there was no limit, no limitations in what you can achieve in your life, write it down. These categories become so, so, so important in how we really thrive and how we think about the things that we're doing. Life is short, all right? We gotta think big in what's really possible, because I can speak for myself, like where I was 5 years ago, today is still a dream. And when you see what can happen when you focus on your goals and really being having this clear vision of what you want in your life and then making it happen and then having to adjust your vision and then move forward and create a new vision continues to be a really exciting and amazing time. And we live in this world of so much opportunity and knowledge that exists out there to help our goals and to help create this reality that we want to create in our life. Now, one of the things that I find to be essential in evaluating and writing down your goals, and this is kind of its own separate category because it can go under so many of the other 8 things that I just mentioned, but it's regarding things that you want to learn. And you can narrow it down into each category, right? There may be seeing things in your business that you want to learn. There may be things in regards to your physical health that you want to learn, things in your mental health that you want to learn, things that you want to learn in relationships, things you want to learn financially, spirituality, right? Contribution, adventure, those ones, you know, probably a little less to learn. Although not necessarily, especially when it comes to adventures, you may be learning about how to create cheap trips or things along that line. So there's a lot of things that go into these categories that we want to narrow down. Now, I want to touch on what I teased at earlier, which is thinking about the mistakes that people make. When it comes to your goals and really evaluating what you want to achieve, the identity that we have from ourself is what often stops us from being able to achieve our goals. So putting in your physical health, you know, hey, I want to be 50 pounds lighter is great. And I'm a big proponent in exercise and our physical health, because personally, I think your physical health contributes to so much of being able to achieve your goals, because you have more energy, you're more confident, you just show up in better in your business, you show up better with your relationships, you show up better, it improves your mental health. Like, it really does play a pivotal factor in so much of our lives. But here's the thing when it comes to our physical health. If we don't see ourselves as like a healthy person, and it's someone that's unhealthy trying to be healthy, then it becomes this, like, there's this resistance and fighting between trying to become this person instead of identifying and embodying ourselves as this person. An example that's touched on in a number of books, but this one particularly, is around cigarette smokers. And the example that they use is that if you say, like, oh, I'm trying to quit, then now again, it's that resistance. I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to quit, instead of being, I am not a smoker, right? Or I am a healthy person, therefore I do not smoke. If we're not shifting these identities, then these goals are not going to change. They're not sustainable. We have to shift the identity and the beliefs, internal beliefs that we have about ourselves, what's possible for ourselves, before we can even go down this rabbit hole of writing down and achieving our goals. And so this takes work to really think about what your current limiting beliefs are and the identities that you currently hold. To share an example around identity that was really powerful for me is that I struggled with reading. I hated reading. Growing up, my parents used to bribe us. Like, my grandmother, I remember, would be like, $5 for a book. And that did not incentivize me. Then again, I'm not really driven by money still to this day. But didn't help. I mean, even as a kid, I'm like, that was not enough for me. I hated reading. I didn't want to do it, so much so that it hurt me so much in my development throughout schooling. I had to go to summer school from 5th to 6th grade to work on my reading skills. And I remember being in a class of like 5 people, and some of these kids like had borderline learning disabilities, which I did not. And I felt like I didn't belong in this room, but here I was in this room, and it only solidified this identity around not being a good reader. You know, my parents insisted, oh, you know, well, you're not a good reader. I'm not a good test taker. And that became this identity that I had all throughout high school, even so much so that when I went to college, in order to go to Bloomsburg, which is a small state school in Pennsylvania, I had to go and take a reading and writing exam just to qualify to get in. And because of my scores, I still got into the school, but then I had to take a writing class, which had a lot to do with, we would read and then we'd write about it, which still to this day, I'm really glad I took that class, because it was really valuable. And I still remember things from that class. I remember the books we read. But when we wrap ourselves in this identity of like, I'm not a good reader, then we'll continue to do the activities that are aligned with that identity. In this case, not reading. And so when I went down this path of personal development, I realized that if I truly wanted to shift, and I was learning more about identity and how important this was, and saying, oh my God, I keep saying I'm not a good reader. Well, why am I not a good reader? Because I don't read. And so every day I started writing affirmations that said, I am a reader. It even expanded to like, I am a voracious reader. And it was through that identity that I was crafting. And it started with just writing this affirmation down, which affirmation is this I am statement of this repetition to create this identity, and doing that on a daily basis reshaped it, where then I started, okay, well, if I am a reader, then what do? I read every day. And I started with just 10 minutes a day. That was where I started. It was 10 minutes. I thought, all right, this is easy. I'm going to pick up a book and I'm going to read it for 10 minutes. And what ended up happening is sometimes I would read it for longer than 10 minutes. Sometimes it was just 10 minutes and I put it back down. I mean, finding 10 minutes in your day is critical to find that time for reading and just making that time. But so as I started to read more and more, then before I knew it, I was reading a lot and I would be able to sit down and I was able to read for an hour, you know, which the past version of me would never have even thought that that was possible for me. But we often think about at this big, big leap of this person, of who we believe we are, instead of thinking about who do we want to be? Who is that person that we want to be? Because when we can shift that identity, so many doors begin to open up. And we can talk about all of these goals that we have, but if we're not looking at these core identities and limiting beliefs that you have, these goals are never going to happen. And so it is essential that we are making time to think about what are the limiting beliefs that you have? What are the things that maybe your family, friends have continuously told you, things that you've told yourself, and just asking yourself, is this true? Does this need to be true? How can I shift this? Maybe you do have identities about, you know, reading or what's possible for you. To get even more transparent, because as you know, if you've been following me and listening, I like to be as open as possible. I've said things like, I'm not good at talking to women, which in many cases is not true. It's just the approach that I struggle with more, but I don't really have problems talking to people. You know, when I go on dates, it's really easy, right? And so when I started to shift and then realizing, okay, well, I'm not really bad at this, then there should be less fear around doing these things that are uncomfortable and being willing to kind of step out and take these initiatives, but also understanding that these are skill sets that need to be developed. And if we don't recognize and start to remove this, like, I'm not good at this, then we're never going to get good at the thing. We need to do the thing. You know, a lot of times with my clients, when it comes to like video marketing, they say, I'm not good at video. Like, have you ever done it? How do you expect to be good at something that you haven't done? And so that becomes a whole nother element. And we'll get into like the specifics too of how we can break down our goals, because that's going to be mistake number two that a lot of people make. But so again, reiterating, the first mistake that people make when it comes to goal setting is that they don't take the time to think about the identities and the beliefs that they have around themselves. And if we, you know, health being a good example, right? We have to identify as a healthy person, because then when we're stuck with that decision of, do I eat that cookie? We're now, oh, well, what would a healthy person do? They would say no. That's why dieting doesn't work, because it's so short term. We have to change our lifestyle. We have to change our identity. We can't change our lifestyle until we change our identity and who we think we are and who we want to become, right? It's this idea around be, do, have. To have the things that we want, we got to do the things. To do the things, we got to be the person that does the things so that we can have the things. We can't start with the have. We got to start with the be. Then once you become that person, then you'll do the things that will get you, and then you will have the things that you want in your life. Be, do, have. Start with your identity. Think about limiting beliefs, things that you've said, in why, oh, this goal can never happen. I'm not even going to write that down because I'm not good at this. I'm not good at business. I'm not good at relationships. Any of these things is just slowing you down from being able to remove these identities so that you can move forward, develop the skills that will help you to achieve your goals, which leads to mistake number two. The biggest mistake, or the second biggest mistake that people make when it comes to creating goals, is that they don't have the actionable items that go with achieving those goals. And so, what does that mean? This comes from one of my favorite books, which is Atomic Habits. People always ask me, like, hey, what's your number one recommended book? It's Atomic Habits. I recommend it constantly. If you've listened to other episodes, you know, because I've talked about it, because it is so critical in understanding how we achieve our goals if we don't break them down into small actionable items. You can say all you want, I want to lose 50 pounds, but if you don't have a plan and small actionable items to achieve that goal, it will never happen. It's just a scribble on a piece of paper. And so we have to create small actionable items. And the problem that I see with this is that people set these like big goals and then don't break it down into these smaller goals. And then it seems super overwhelming. Oh my God, I'm never going to achieve that. We've got to start small. For example, using the health analogy, if we want to lose 50 pounds, then we need to reevaluate our goals and what's going to do that. Focusing around the two core things, diet and exercise. So what can you do from a diet standpoint, right? What are you eating? What are you consuming? And I say diet in this standpoint, as in just like what you're eating, not a diet. What you're eating and how much of it. I know that that's a huge one that I think so many people miss the boat on. It was something that I remember growing up. There was one time because I really started getting into my fitness a lot more in college. And when I would go back home with my family, a lot of times we'd order like cheesesteaks, you know, from Philly, or get some hoagies, you know, other people call them subs, whatever, I call them hoagies. And we would get, you know, foot-long hoagies, sandwiches. And I started just eating half of it. And I remember when my brother and my dad, both my brothers and my dad, looked at me like I was crazy. What? You're not going to eat the whole thing? What's wrong with you? They didn't say it. They said it with their eyes, but it was very clear that that was an apparent thing. And I even went to the extent of buying 6-inch plates instead of 9-inch plates, because we have this concept in our brain where we want to fill the plate. And so if we use a 9-inch plate, then we're filling that plate. If we use a 6-inch plate, we're going to fill that plate, but it's going to be less food. And so that becomes this important element of controlling our portions. And again, this goes into these action items. These are like really small, specific details that you can do to help. Another thing is meal prepping. That's what I do now, is I cook two meals, and then I do a bunch of it, and then I just eat those two meals throughout the week, or at least the first 4 days, and then I have other stuff that I will make. But for the most part, I have all these meals in my fridge, which makes it really easy from a time standpoint. And there's also meal prep services that you can get if you don't want to spend the time cooking. There's a lot of options in regards to this. And I know that time is valuable. So again, you either have time, money, right? So you either got to make the food, or you got to invest in having the food made for you so that you can stay on track. And I know this becomes a lot more difficult with family and things of that sort, which is why you need to be very disciplined in this action and in how your consumption is being consumed. Now, when it comes to the exercise, so often people try to go like 5 days a week or 6 days a week right out of the gate. That is so hard to maintain, especially if you haven't been working out at all. Don't do that. Don't. Focus on, hey, how often is a good goal that you'd like to achieve? The place I like to start, right, is like 2 to 4. Definitely like 3 to 4 is usually, I should say 3 to 4 is a good range of exercise that you can start with. And the reason why this becomes really impactful is because this doesn't mean that you can't do more. It just means that you set the bar lower so that when you achieve it, you're satisfied with the results. But if you're trying to do 5 or 6 and then you don't do it, you're discouraged. You're like, oh, I didn't do it. And this is, again, going into the action items. We're not focusing on, oh my God, I need to get X amount of pounds. I hate weight as a metric. It is one of the worst metrics to measure your physical health, because muscle, everything that comes into it, there's just so many factors that go into what your weight is. And so looking at the scale and trying to evaluate your goals based on that is not a good methodology, right? And this is why we're breaking it down into exercises. You know, how many times am I exercising throughout the day, or throughout the week? and then breaking those exercises down into even more, like, what are you going to do throughout that time? The thing that about this is this takes time, but once it's set up, right? This is what 2024 new goals is all about. We're setting ourselves up for success. We take this time to do the extra work so that we can map this out. And again, you may need help for this, right? You may hire a physical trainer if you're really committed to your goals, right? These are things that we can do. But if you want to just start small, it can be as simple as just going for a walk for 10 minutes. That is the difference. We've got to start small, these micro habits, just moving our body. Again, maybe it is just 2 days a week that we start. And then you can add on, okay, I've done this. Now let me add three. Let me try doing three. Oh, let me try doing four. Instead of coming right out of the gate. Oh my God, I got to do all this. You get burnt out. You're like, I can't do this. I can't keep up. And then you fall off. And I mean, I think one of the New Year's resolutions, most people stop at like February 15th or something. It's probably sooner than that. They don't even last a month and a half. And so if we start small, we create these small actionable items, things that we can do, it's going to dramatically increase the desired results that we want to achieve. Now, that being said with this too, and that same theme of starting small, is understanding that we often have difficulty doing too many things. It's good to write all this stuff down and have it as this like overall arching vision. But if I'm being fully honest with you, I had one goal last year, and that was my physical health. That was basically my like biggest priority. And that was when I really started going like all in on meal prepping. I bought all these like glass containers so that I could have all my meal prep organized. And then I started looking at different gym options, joined a gym. There was some yoga with it. I didn't like that. I ended up switching gyms from where I am now. Now I have a very consistent schedule. Monday, I go to the gym. Tuesday, yoga. Three, gym. Thursday, yoga. Again, Friday, gym. So it's 5 days a week. And then on the weekend, I try to do something active, whether it's volleyball or go for a run or bike ride, go for a hike. Things that are just active. And so not everybody likes the gym, and that's totally fine as long as you can create activities in your life that have that physical aspect to it. And how can you, this is from Atomic Habits, but you may even use a strategy called habit stacking. And so if you take phone calls on a regular basis, go for a walk while you're on the phone call, right? Who's to say you can do that, right? There's certain calls that you can do. So it really comes down to like making that time. So this goes into the same element of breaking our goals down into actionable items, is now we're taking it even one step further. How long is it going to take us to do these items? How long am I going to the gym, right? What is that time frame of where it is? And then, okay, now I know how long it's going to take me to do this certain item. And then I break down, all right, when on my calendar, what time am I going to the gym? What time am I doing this? If we don't set this up and then using our calendar, like these things aren't going to happen, right? What gets on our calendar gets done. So we've got to set this up in a way that's going to sustain us in this custom. But we have to have a plan, and this is the plan, and putting this plan in place of how long these action items are going to take, right? If you need to cook your meals, what days are you going to cook the meal? What days are you going to go to the grocery store, right? We've got to map all of this stuff out and breaking everything down. If it's just this like grander vision of like, I want this thing, these things are never going to happen. And you may be coming up with things that, you know, examples of goals that you want to achieve and how you can start to break it down, right? If there's things that you want to learn, hey, you want to learn piano, great. Do you have a piano? Got to buy a piano. Get an electric one, get a real one, right? Whatever it may be. Going on YouTube, how much time are you spending, right? Oh, I'd like to, you know, spend at least 20 minutes a week on playing the piano. Great. What time? What day? Putting it on your calendar, mapping out these aspects. When we can do this, we can achieve so much more. And so, let's recap. Where do we start? First, we evaluate all of the things that we want to in each category, where we rank, right? From physical health, mental health, relationships, career, financial, spirituality, contribution, and venture, right? Where do we evaluate those things? And then breaking down the goals that go with that. Once we break down the goals, then we break down the action items that go with it. What do we need to do in order to achieve this goal, right? So let's say it's relationships. Let's say you're married, right? You want to improve your marriage. Great. What do those items look like? Well, you could schedule a date night. Okay, great. What day of the week? What time? Where are you going to do this, right? What are some things? What are some other things? Gifts. How often you want to buy a gift? Oh, maybe I could do a small little gesture of what you want to do. And you may even look to, hey, how can I improve my relationships? Do you know 5 love languages, right? So now it's a book. There's resources out there that exist to then improve your relationships. Where can I find time to then learn about these different things to then help and improve these relationships? Hey, next time I'm in the car, I'm listening to the 5 love languages to really improve the relationships that we are in, because that really helps. If you don't understand the love languages of your individual person, a lot of times we try and give love based on how we like receiving it. So for me personally, my number one love language is words of affirmation, but somebody else may not be words of affirmation and maybe acts of service. And so if we're trying to give someone words of affirmation and that's not their love language, they really just want us to like do stuff around the house because they're acts of service, then it's misaligned. So we have to know the person, that what their love language are, and maybe encourage the process. Like, they need to obviously do this. There's tests and stuff. But again, using that as an example from a relationship standpoint. Another one may be financial, right? What's the goal? How much money do you have in your bank account? How much money do you want to put towards savings? Like, where's your money coming in? How are you budgeting? What can you do to make more money, right? All of these different things in that area that are going to help break down these different areas that we need to. But if we don't break it down, it's not going to happen. All right. Once we've mapped this all out, all right, then we can look at the identities that we have to be able to achieve these goals. What are the identities that we have? What affirmations do we have? You may even go far as to doing this as a regular routine. So one of the things as a morning routine, and I'll probably do another episode just like on morning routines, because I love morning routines, but this can be done in a few minutes. You get a journal, blank journal, they're like $7 on Amazon, and you write down 3 things that you're grateful for, 3 I am statements, and then you list out a few of your top goals every morning. And that way you're reminding yourself every single day about these goals that you want to achieve, right? And you may even go further as to like why you want these goals, because that's going to be even more. If your physical health, oh, well, I want to be alive. You know, I want to be healthy to take care of my grandkids, or, you know, be healthy for my kids so that they create a healthy lifestyle. You know, when we have that why, we're so much more likely to achieve those goals as well. I know I'm kind of going on a little tangent here, but start with writing down the goals that you want to achieve, the action items and things that go under that goal, and then figure out your identity that comes into those. So by the end of this, you should have a calendar with the activities and things that you want to do, right? And it's important that if we don't do the thing, that we don't get discouraged. We just jump right back on the horse. It's not about always succeeding. It's about consistency and being able to jump back onto the train, jump back onto that horse. If you got questions on this, reach out to me, DM me. Happy to dive into it. I'd love to hear what some of your goals are, some of your big takeaways from this episode, and how you can start to leverage and create amazing things in your life as we dive into 2024. I mean, every year I'm trying to make my best year ever, and I hope you are too. And that takes vision and discipline, consistency, and a plan to make that happen. Happy New Year. Let's crush it. 2024. Let's grow together.